as the church of Christ, when we are being called by God to disciple in a greater way, not just because it's something to do, but it's because it's what we were called to do. Our theme this month of July is prayer. Our whole month is emphasizing prayer. We cannot begin anything or anything be obviously successful without prayer. But here is the real key I want you to understand. We need to know how to pray and what to pray for. So many times I think people say, I'll pray for you or whatever. But do you really know what that person needs? Do you really have a prayer that will transform? And if we are to disciple ourselves and disciple others, if we are to do that, we need to learn prayer. Isaiah received a revelation of darkness. You see, Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament, which means he's telling the people of that day about what's to come, a prophecy. And in this prophecy, he talks about Jesus many times, the coming Messiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, the birth of Jesus is prophesied. Then in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, plainly and fully, he talks about the sufferings of Jesus that are to come. So if we look at Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, obviously, if he's been predicting the Messiah, then he's saying that this light that will come is the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? Jesus. So when we read the scriptures, and it says in the scriptures that arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises over you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. Now, let me just say this. We're not talking about sunshine as we know it or darkness as we know it. We're talking about sunshine and light in your soul. And there is something that goes on in our lives if we have the light of God shining in us, whereas if we don't, we sit and we stand in darkness. So I want us to think a few minutes about Jesus who came to bring light to each one of us. In John chapter 12, verse 41, and in Matthew 4:16, the gospel writers actually tell us that Jesus was the light Isaiah was talking about. In the midst of the darkness, Jesus himself, while speaking about his life and ministry, stated, listen what Jesus said, I have come into the world as light, that so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. I believe that God wants us to walk in his light as he is in the light. I'm going to say something a little bit sad, and that's this. Not everybody that's Christian walks in light. As a matter of fact, many Christians walk in darkness. They are controlled by darkness. They are deluded by darkness. They think dark thoughts. Darkness comes in different levels and degrees. How many of you have ever sat up all night? Anyone? I think most of you have at some time or the other. When it's 4 to about 8 o'clock in the evening, you see the sun setting. At my house, because I have so many tall trees in front of my house, and it's the west, that direction, by 4:30, there's no sun around my house. Sun's starting to go down. I drive to other places and it's full sun till 8 o'clock. Mine is. Anyway, by 8 o'clock, you're starting to get dark. By 9 o'clock, it is dark. But in that time of 8 to 9, it's a beginning of darkness. Have you ever noticed how slowly it comes on us? How slowly the darkness comes? And it's almost like we're not noticing it. That's the way the darkness comes in the world. It doesn't come on us fast. It comes on us very gradually, very gradually. And then, when is the darkest time? Anybody know? Probably 12 to 3 or 4 in the morning. When you start getting to 4, by the way, if you want to get up at 4, you start seeing a little bit of light outside. Believe it or not, in the summer. So before that is really dark. My frogs know when it's dark because they start croaking. I have a lot of frogs around my house. And because the Eno's just down the street. So anyway, to make a long story short, I have time when darkness is the darkest at my house, and I have other times when it's not quite as dark. I believe there are levels of Christianity and levels of people who are in darkness and they don't know it. As a matter of fact, many of them think they're doing pretty good, if you were to ask them. There are four types of spiritual darkness, and I want to look at that. First of all, there is spiritual blindness. What happens when you're in the dark? I mean, really dark. Can you see things? You can't see anything. And my granddaughter went into the bathroom and shut the door, and I mean, it's dark in there when you shut the door. There was no light, and she started screaming. She was scared to death in the darkness. You can't see. There is a spiritual blindness, though, when your heart begins to become darkness. Dark. In Isaiah 43:8, it says, "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears." Wait a minute. The blind that have eyes and the deaf that have ears? What does it mean? This is talking about spiritual blindness. They have regular eyes like you and I. They have ears, but they can't hear and they can't see. You ever noticed anybody like that before? They will look at you and say, "I don't see God." What is that? Go step outside and tell me you don't see God. There are many other ways that you see God and you hear from God. But there are people that don't hear nor can they see because they have ears but they cannot hear. They have eyes but they cannot see. They are spiritually blind. Have you ever wondered why some people that are blind make bigger accomplishments in life than some people with eyes? How do they do that? I actually think that when people are blind, I believe it causes their other eyes to see greater. Their spiritual eyes, their emotional eyes, their mental eyes, they see more. Without. They have to. They're forced to because they're blind with their physical eyes. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. "Making mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to that working of his strength and his might." Here, Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, "I hope that your eyes of your heart are enlightened and opened up, and you begin to see." There are a lot of people that see the world, but they are blind to what's going on behind the world. God, his movement, his hand, his goodness, his righteousness, his truth. That's called spiritual blindness. We need to pray as Paul for deliverance of those of us, of those who we're discipling, to have spiritual eyes open. One of the great prayers you can pray for someone is for them to have their eyes open spiritually. You've got family members, you've got friends that you are discipling, And I want you to know that some of them, their eyes are, they are blind spiritually. I mean, you can talk to them and they almost look at you like, what? You can talk to them about the Lord. You can read scripture and they go, what? What is their problem? Spiritually blind. But you can pray that their eyes of their heart be lifted and brought into spiritual awakening. In Luke chapter 20, verse 4, verse 13 through 31, Jesus was walking down the road to Emmaus. He had just resurrected. And as he was walking down the road, two men were there, and he walked up beside them, heard them talking. And so he walked with them. They were disciples of Jesus, not one of the 12, but they were followers of Jesus. And they were talking about the sadness that Jesus had died on the cross. And as they were walking along, Jesus walked with them. They did not see Jesus. They saw a man. They were blind. And then at the table, they asked him to stay for the evening. It's late. Why don't you eat with us? And when he sat down to eat with them, he spoke, and they looked at him, and they recognized him. Their eyes were opened. I believe that God is trying to reveal himself to you guys, to all of us, every single day. But because of a spiritual blindness, we don't see God. What does spiritual blindness do to us? Spiritual blindness takes our vision of God away, and it keeps us from having victory in our life. It keeps us from having blessings in our life. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, the servant of Elisha woke up to see that he was surrounded by the enemy. And he cried out to God and said, God, help me. I'm surrounded by this great, mighty, powerful enemy. They will destroy us. And then God gave a revelation to him. The army of God was made up of horses and chariots and fire, and he saw it all the way around the armies that were come against him. Millions in the army of the Lord that he did not see until God opened his eyes. And when God opened his eyes, he did not worry, for he knew the army that he was coming against was nothing compared to the army of the Lord. How many of you have been through something and you're going, there's no way I can get through this. This is just overwhelming me. The enemy is strong against me. When God opens your eyes to his power that is around you, you are relieved of that worry, anxiety, and fear. And by the way, let me just say this, and hear me very carefully. I'm not saying, hear me, I'm not saying, Marshall, I'm glad you came back. I'm not saying every sickness is because we don't see God and we're not trusting God. Sickness comes because we're human. But I want you to know something. There is sickness that comes to our bodies, our minds, and our hearts because we don't trust God enough. We don't look out and see his armies. We don't look out and see his healing. We don't recognize God as who he is. God is in control of everything. And when we get to the point we see him as God in control, rather than candy God up in heaven we just pray to every once in a while, when we start seeing God for who he is, then his power is revealed, his deliverance is given, and worry and anxiety go away. It also affects our bodies. Let me tell you how much it affects our bodies. I went Thursday to the doctor. I went to go get my blood checked because I had had some nosebleeds, and they were checking to make sure my blood's okay. But that, when I went to get my blood checked, I had all kinds of visions of what it might be. You know, when you nosebleeds. It might be this. It might be that. I'm human. It might be this. And I didn't feel too good. So, Monday through Thursday, I really didn't. As a matter of fact, I felt more aches and pains. And I've oh, God, this is... And when I got my blood work back and she called me back on the phone, she said, it's perfect. It's perfect. Well, I don't feel perfect. But Friday, I felt better. Saturday, I felt good. And today, I feel wonderful. And I slept like a baby on Saturday night and Sunday night. Friday night and Saturday night. Let me tell you something. Your mind has more control of your physical body than anything. And I don't care who you are. You are going through things that you struggle and you stress with. And the struggle and the stress is not relieving you and is keeping you down. And God wants to heal you. Let him heal you. Open your spiritual eyes and watch his healing. Spiritual blindness brings fear, worry, anxiety. Having our spiritual eyes open floods our hearts with the peace of God in Acts chapter 17, verse 13 through 25. Paul was calm, his faith and courage high, because God had given him a revelation when he was on the boat. You remember when the boat was sinking? And all the people said, we're going to die. Paul said, don't worry about it. I've already seen what God's going to do. And God delivered them. Why? I think because of the calm of peace and peace of Paul. Because he had seen what God had before him. In Psalm 73, the psalmist shares an important experience he went through. He was tempted to slip into the lifestyle of the people around him because he looked around and he said, everybody's being blessed. Look, God, everybody's blessed. And I'm sitting here. You know, I'm struggling and they're all blessed and nothing's happened to him. He had a temptation to become like the world because the world was gaining so much wealth and all. So, you know, shouldn't I become like the world? But God opened his spiritual eyes and he said, oh, but in the end, God blesses those who are faithful. Read Psalm 73. Satan wants you to believe a lie about yourself. And you know what that lie is? You're not worthy. You're not good. He wants to put a tag on you. How many people today have tags? They walk around with tags because they think they're a certain way because of the way people treat them. And they begin to, have you ever noticed, people begin to look for anything and everything that said that might be against me. Every time they turn around, somebody's talking about me. Not everybody's talking about you. I got news for you. The second one, though, is, let me finish. Spiritual blindness does not recognize the true nature and power of God, nor whom I am in Christ Jesus. Pray, when we are discipling, and this month, pray for all our congregation, pray for your family, pray for individuals who you are discipling, whether they know you're discipling or not. Pray for spiritual eyes. The next one is a pit of darkness. This is the second type of spiritual darkness. It's in Psalm 143:3, David spoke of being plunged into a pit of darkness. We are familiar with the very story of Joseph who was thrown into a pit. You remember Joseph was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. But while he was in that pit, he thought there was no hope for him. Isaiah chapter 14, 27 says, for the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? When we're in the darkest place of our life, you know what a pit is? It's a place you can't get out. Is there anybody in this congregation listening this morning who is in a place you don't feel like you can get out? And you just feel like you're stuck in there. In darkness. I want you to know something. God is a delivering God and wants to get you out of the darkness. In Lamentations 3:55 through 57, it says this: I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. He calls to us in the pit. Who do you know anybody that was in the Bible that was in a pit? Yes, Joseph. Who else? How about Jonah? In both cases, they cried to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. In many cases, people are in the pit. In Psalm 41 and 2, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned unto me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. You see, down in that pit, it's like muddy. You get your feet in it, and you don't think you can get out. You feel like, for the rest of my life, this is what I'm going to have to live with. This is how I'm going to have to live. God does not intend for you to live that way. He wants to bring you out of the pit. When you pray in that pit of darkness, God will hear your prayer and deliver you. Peter and Paul were in a pit, chained to a wall. And they began to sing praises to God. And what happened? They were delivered. And what happened to the Israelites? By the way, an angel came in and released them. What happened to the Israelites when they got to the Red Sea? They were in a pit, basically. They were in a place there was no escape. The armies behind them, and in front of them, the great and mighty Red Sea. There's no way. And yet God opened up a big, gigantic path through the middle of the Red Sea, and a couple of million walked through the Red Sea on dry ground to the other side. Whenever you're in a pit, you don't see a door or a way out, but that does not mean that God can't provide you a way out. He wants us to come out of the pit, and He can provide you a way. Most of the time we can't see the way out, and the reason we can't is because we're blind. We're spiritually blind in a pit. You may be in a pit of darkness, but the John chapter 8 verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're walking in darkness, stuck in a dark pit, it's not God's fault. It's God calling to you, saying, call unto me. Don't get quiet in a pit. Get loud. Pray to God, and He will deliver you. And then there's the third, is the veil or covering of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 tells us that one of the functions of light is to make things visible, for you to see them. But a veil covers things so that you can't see them. And the truth of God, excuse me, the truth of God is veiled from those whose eyes are closed. Hear me. Listen to me. When God began, He had a plan. He established it on principles. He made sure that we understood those principles. He sent His Son to reveal those principles. They are the same today as they were in the day of Jesus, as they were in the day of Genesis. The things of God do not change with the culture. The culture must change to the things of God. Remember, and I've said this before, one of the candidates that ran for office said the church is going to have to change and become like the society. If they don't, they're going to be left out. Okay, we'll be left out here, but we'll be a part of the kingdom, and you're going to be left out when the kingdom comes. The fourth is fruitless deeds of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5:11, it tells us not to have anything to do with the fruitless deeds, to stay away from the fruitless deeds. In 1 John 1:5, it tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So deeds of darkness are all activities God does not sanction. And it tends to blind us. Let me say this, hear me. All of us have tendencies, have weaknesses. And if we begin to give in to fleshly weaknesses and walk according to the flesh, then what will happen is these deeds of darkness will begin to bring more darkness in our life. And we will see less and less of the things of God. And the grace and the mercy and the healing and the strength and the power and the life of God that comes through the light will be blocked from us and we will not grow in it. And I have seen so many discouraged Christians, it makes me sad. You are worried about a wolf coming against you or a spider on the walls spiritually, when you have the king of the universe, the Lion of Judah, as your sovereign, and you don't think the Lion of Judah can take care of the spider or the wolf in your life? Ah, how blind we can be when the light is not shined. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. David said it this way in Psalm 41 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, the mire, and he set me on a rock. I believe that we are, all of us, capable of becoming spiritually blind. We have the tendency, if we don't watch out, living in the darkness and letting the darkness. You know, let me tell you something. And I'm guilty of this. I'm as guilty as anybody. Okay? If you watch the news, you're going to be plunged in the darkness. I'm sorry. Now, you can say, well, I got to keep up with it. Well, you go ahead and keep up with the darkness. I'll keep up with the light. Okay? There is no way that you can watch all the hideous things that are going on in our society and not be plunged in the darkness and not to be, oh, it's so bad. I'm so sad. And it's so, let me tell you something. God is in control. And we need to be living as victorious Christians instead of defeated Christians. And whenever our spiritual eyes are turned on and we see what God is capable of doing, we will trust him and our demeanor will change. We will not. It's like getting back a good blood test. You'll feel so much better. And when you turn over that person that's worrying you to the living God who's spiritually blind, you turn them over to God. You don't have to worry about them anymore. God's going to take care of them. Trust him. I want you this morning to do one thing that it says in the scriptures. And that last scripture, put it up there. Rise, shine, for light has come. We have to do something. Arise, shine, which means you've got to get up out of the pit. You've got to get out of whatever you're in. You've got to step up. You've got to step out. Come out of those blind and dark places you live in or you walk in or you think in and start letting the light shine through you. There are people all around us. The only way we're going to disciple is when we begin to pray, Lord, let the light shine through me, and you let and cause the spiritual darkness and dimness to go away. And then you'll be walking victorious. Arise, stand up, move out. Quit sitting there and complaining. Let's stand, if you would, as we close in a word of prayer. Father,
right now, we've risen, we've stood up.
Help us to stand up spiritually and to walk out of the blind places that we are in. Lord, help us to stand in the light of God. And then, Lord, those people that we are worried about, because they are in such spiritual blindness, Lord, help us to learn how to pray for them for deliverance, and also that the spiritual blind shields and veils might come down, that they might see the truth of God and it might be revealed in their hearts. Now bless us and make us your people, for it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. If you'll remain standing,